You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, it is that time of the week, one of my favorite times of every single week. Get together with two of my brethren who do this and have been doing it longer than I have. We call it the Grand Council, where we get three of us on the line and we ping each other with questions. We don't know the questions in advance. We don't. And we just see how we do and where we stand. Let me call the roll from 770 AM, 92.5 FM out of Huntsville, WVNN. Also writing for Yellowhammer News, that would be Dale Jackson. Are you present?
Oh.
Thank you. Yes, you are. Stand at ease. All right. Also from FM Talk 106.5 in Mobile, host of his own show, as well as, by the way, the editor-in-chief for 1819 News, Jeff Ropour. Are you here?
I am present.
You are indeed. I pronounce a quorum. Hit it, buddy.
Assemble the Grand Council.
Ba-da. Ba-ba-da. All right. All right. Listen, Grand Council, I think, Jeff, you go first. What you got?
Last night's election results were not good for Republicans. They underperformed, I think, generally speaking, but is it time to be concerned going into 2024?
I think you broke up slightly. You say, are we concerned about going into 2024?
Yes.
Dale, you want to take it first?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, they should be very concerned going into 2024. I mean, this is... It's a big problem here. You have crime out of control. You got immigration going nuts. You've got a terribly unlikable president. You've got all these social issues. You've got anti-Semitic Democrats. You have tons of things happening, and they're still able to pull out victories. Yeah, you need to be concerned about that.
You do, and technically those are mostly state ballot races. I get it, but I look at things too. Like the Dems are better at messaging right now, and I think they are. And then at the same time. I read that President Biden directed that the Democratic National Committee send millions of dollars to Virginia to help with the legislative races because he wanted to build up a state that he could come back and win in. And they did it. And then at the same, Ronald McDaniel has now presided over tepid and fetid results. It strikes me as odd that she's still in charge of the RNC, but... I guess to answer your question, I absolutely think we should be concerned. Luckily, we have time to react, but we better get our messaging together. We better get our fundraising together. We better make sure our candidates are strong. Jeff, your own question. What are you thinking?
I think Kentucky, probably Kentucky and the Ohio ballot, the constitutional amendment on abortion probably went how they were most predicting to. Now, keep in mind, Daniel Cameron was closing late in that race, and it was still not really him in the lead as a front runner. It's Virginia losing both chambers of legislature, not good. The other thing is, I think this Mississippi thing, even though it was a W, is a bigger cause for concern, because when is Mississippi supposed to be close? And I wonder if Mississippi is going to turn into the next Georgia eventually.
Well, you know that it was Elvis Presley's second cousin. I mean, there's that.
They sent Doug Jones over there too. I'm sure that had something to do with it.
Well, and then about I will say this though, the I think it's the Democratic Governors Association put $6 million on this guy Presley. So they just whammied Tate Reeves for a while there. He still pulled it out. But yeah, you're right. I didn't expect that to be as competitive as it was. All right, next question, Dale Jackson. What you got?
Oh man, Jeff, I'm surprised you passed on this. Jeff Poor of 1819 News, I don't know if you guys have been following, he is in a little bit of hot water. Does he regret anything he's done with this Bubba Copeland story?
You talk about the transgender pastor mayor who wrote erotic snuff fiction about people.
I haven't seen any of the articles, you know, because I was told by the media we're not supposed to be covering this.
Oh, okay. Well, Jeff, do you want to address that once again on my show as to whether you have any regrets for running the story?
Sure. Real quick, no regrets. He was a double public figure. I said, does it impact his job as mayor? I put it at 50-50. We put that aside. We went really what was the determination in my mind. He was the pastor of a First Baptist church. I got to thinking about, what if that were my church? What if I were tithing at that church? What if I were giving my time? What if I were giving my money? Whatever it may be. What if I were trusting my two-year-old son with that church and that man were the face of my church? I have a right to know. And, you know, you couple that with him being a mayor of a city in Alabama, it was a no-brainer. We had to do it.
I think truth is starting to set in too. I think there's still this real push right now to make this a story about, you just outed a man for his private life. No, it's not at all. I mean, and I said on my show the other day, the hypocrisy of the media, especially the Alabama so-called mainstream media, for daring to say things like that after what they did with, you know, John Merrill, Robert Bentley, Roy Moore, name it, is heinous. But they apparently had a some kind of a memorial service, and I'm glad they did last night for him. And it was not a big turnout. It was pretty paltry. I think people are starting to realize, oh wait, there may have been a lot more to this story. Your own question, Dale, what say you about this?
I just don't understand why all the media sounds so damn virtuous about this. Like not covering it is somehow some sort of accomplishment. I mean, it really is very strange that they've taken the path they have taken. You were a public figure, Senator. I guess you'd kind of argue you are still. I mean, would your personal life be fair game if you had done this?
You know, I guess, but I mean, at the same time, you look at it and think, it was actually, by the way, it was not just his personal life. It was very questionable, like bordering on.
Oh no, I agree with that. We all agree there. But let's go with their premise. Okay, let's go with their premise. If you had been doing that in your personal life, let's just say it was just the dressing and women's clothing. Okay, that's all it was. If you were doing that when you were a state senator, would they have covered that story?
You don't have pictures of anything like that, by the way. But no,
I
see your point, and yes, I would agree that would probably be fair game. I mean,
they'd have run it in a heartbeat. They would not have even thought about it.
No,
they would not have thought of it. And then they would have went to every member of the Republican Party down there.
They made crap up about me.
Right. I mean. And they would have asked them, what do you think about serving with somebody who's doing this? What do you think about serving? They would have made it a huge deal. And I find it fascinating that Jeff's getting drunk through the mud on this. I can't understand.
Jeff's boots are clean. Your boots are clean, Jeff. We love you, Jeff.
Well, I appreciate that.
Absolutely. All right, let me ask you a question. I am hearing that certain radio shows in North Alabama are saying that Trump is a drain on the ticket, that we are looking at the barrel of a gun right now if Trump is the top of the ticket going into 2024. Dale Jackson, would you care to comment on that and elaborate per se?
I mean, I do accept your premise that the largest talk radio show in North Alabama was saying that. And Alabama's most trusted journalist. I do. I think that this is becoming a bit of a problem here. He motivates people to get out when he's on the ticket, but he motivates people to be involved in politics all the time when he's not. He is omnipresent. We cannot escape him. He is the nominee. He will be the nominee. He's going to win the primary, no question about it. And I think we are looking at a pretty bad run in 2024 because of that. That's my opinion. Hope to be wrong. Don't think I am.
Jeff, you want to comment first before I do? Go ahead.
I think it works. He's a watch because you with Trump, you get there is a benefit to having him on the ticket. There are coattails, and it just depends on where you're at. There's probably not Trump coattails in Kentucky, Ohio, and in Virginia. But in a lot of other places, there will be coattails and watch. And not that it matters because Alabama's going to go Republican anyway, but there'll be a higher turnout in red states because of Donald Trump.
Yeah, and so I don't see him as a drain on the ticket. Now, he's inflammatory, but I think it was Margaret Thatcher who said, true consensus is the absence of leadership, meaning if everybody always agrees on everything, that means nobody's out front leading. But
it's
I look
not about
at,
his policies. Yeah. It's about the demeanor and the fact that he's everywhere
though,
all the time.
But my point, though, is that you look at it yesterday. So Daniel Cameron had a Trump endorsement and lost the race in Kentucky to a popular Dem. But yet Tate Reeves had the Trump endorsement and beat a popular Dem. So
barely.
I think it, well, did he win or did he not?
Yeah. But to Jeff's point, there's
that should have been a 10-point raise.
Yeah,
right?
But that's a check in my favor. $6 million were pounding him right in the face, too.
What about the guys beneath Cameron? They did fine. They won by like 20 points. What about explain that to me.
I can't explain that to you, except that apparently, Bashir did a great job during the flood, or, you know, hugging people's necks at the right time during natural disasters. So I think he was a very popular, hard to beat Dem no matter what happened, because he was seen as being the guy who was somewhat centrist, even though he did a horrible job during the COVID pandemic. I can't explain it. I don't think at this point that Trump is a true drain on the ticket, but I do think this. I think where it will be a drain is when never Trumpers decide not to vote because they didn't get their nominee, or they think that Trump's the Antichrist.
Exist.
Oh yeah, they're not out there, not at all.
They don't exist. The only place that exists is on MSNBC. You don't know any never Trumpers. Do you know any never Trumpers real life?
I do actually. I can think of one guy who's a personal friend, and another guy, Quinn Hillier, who writes for Washington Examiner. Can't stand. Yeah. I mean, they're out there.
Both guys in the media, by the way. I'm just pointing that out. the simple that's you know, look.
Oh,
I'm not
saying people in real life. I know a lot of people in real life.
I accept your premise.
Public figures.
I accept the premise. My point is this. That is such a small number of people. That's not going to be the difference. There's not this massive wave of Republicans that hate Donald Trump. That's not it. The problem is the people he motivates to come out and hate him on the other side. That's the issue. It's not keeping people who are Republicans home.
I don't think
you're necessarily wrong, but I mean, guys, don't forget. I think a lot of this is just issue abortion motivation. And people I think are more pro-choice in America than maybe we would like.
Did we just lose Jeff? Did he just drop off in mid-sentence?
Hopefully. No, I'm right here.
Oh, you're right there. Okay. I was waiting for the other half of your sentence.
I'll let you talk.
No, I think we're good. In fact, we ran long. We got to take a break right now. All right. Everybody's opinions are in. Round one is over. Grand Council with Jeff Poor, FM Talk 106.5 and 1819 News, and Dale Jackson, WVNN in Huntsville, and Yellowhammer News, and just little old me. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. Back, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Going back to round two of the Grand Council with two of my brethren at Talk Radio, Dale Jackson and Jeff Poor. And I believe, Jeff Poor, you got round two, question one. Go for it.
Okay, so I think there's a little wish casting going on in the media right now with Tommy Tuberville and the Holds. Yesterday he put out a list of conditions. I don't know what has changed, but the headlines are, Tuberville appears ready to lift military holds. Like I said, just media exaggeration and hopefulness, or is this Tommy Tuberville? What do you think of that? Is he making a mistake if he starts to get a little wobbly here?
Well, I haven't seen the story, so I'm literally going off of all I know is what you just said. So
can't trust Jeff anymore.
I'd say, which should be enough, right?
Fair enough.
But anyway, all that to say. No, I don't think Tuberville's going to waver. I think what he probably did was say, "Look, here's the deal. You want to get this resolved? Here's what you got to do." So what are the demands? I mean, Jeff, are they like wishy-washy demands, or are they the kind he's been saying?
No,
all
not
along?
At all. It involves the Pentagon either backing off its policy.
That's what he's always been saying.
Or it involves a language in the next NDAA that would forbid this abortion policy. And, you know, he goes through what's not acceptable in it, and these are the things he's got to do. But the way the media are interpreting it is, he's backing off.
That's all he's been saying all along. All he did was put it in writing. Dale?
Yeah, Jeff suggested maybe this was wish casting. Let me offer up another word. Lying. okay? That's what they're doing. They know where he is on this. They know what he's up to. They know what he believes. And they're going to do all they can to try to suggest that there's something else here that they want to be in, that they believe is happening. And I'm telling you, these people know exactly where Tommy Tuberville is. He's been very clear on this. Outside of them changing something drastically, I don't envision this change.
I don't either. Jeff, you want to put a capstone on that real quick?
Well, and there were two other possibilities he listed here. I got it in front of me. I'll send it to you guys. Obviously, rescind the policy or put language in the NDAA. He offers the idea of using private funds for this abortion policy, or just go ahead and confirm them individually by roll call, and then that's it.
That's a nothing burger. That's wish casting. I just learned a new word. I like that.
Same policy he's always had. Okay,
same exact policy. Dale, next question. Run out of time here. What do you got?
All right. Montgomery doesn't want to have flags anymore because after they put up a bunch of gay pride flags, somebody said, well, how about a Christian flag? And it got really dumb from there. Oh, wait, it was dumb all along. And then they said, okay, no more flags at all. And the mayor tried to veto that. They overrode the veto. No flags in Montgomery. Christmas is canceled. How have we allowed this to happen?
Because we elected Stephen Reed, who is a notoriously liberal individual from a notoriously liberal family. That's how. I mean, that is to me the most obvious sign of what I would call crawfishing virtue signaling. You know, you can't do this. Well, we better back off of everything. And I used to see it all the time when I was doing youth ministry full time. I would have the principals at one school saying, please come see our kids. The other one would say, well, you know, if I let you in, I got to let everybody in, including the Satanists who were banging down the door. But that's a fallacious argument. Jeff? Did we lose Jeff? Jeff just dropped off.
Good. Get out of here, Jeff.
Well, if we
can. He's been nothing but trouble this week anyway.
I'm telling you, out there rabble rousing, he's probably got a new hot story he's about to issue. All right, let me change the gears for you real quick.
He found that photo of you in the dress.
Oh, Lord God. all right, let me ask your opinion on something, Dale Jackson, because you're I got left. Alabama Congressional District 2, we got 1 minute here. I had Dick Brubaker on the show yesterday talking about his candidacy. He's qualified. He lives in the district. And yet, right now, over half of the candidates who are either already qualified or say they're going to live outside the district. Is that a yay or a nay for you, living outside the district?
I think he's disqualified because he lives outside of the district, the way this thing is going. He needs to...
No, Brubaker lives in. Brubaker lives in the district.
I'm sorry. He's disqualified because he lives in the district. He needs to move out of the district in order to be a part of this because that's what everyone else is trying to do.
So,
to be completely honest with you, I think the idea that they're going to elect somebody from out of the district when there's this many people involved, unless it's some huge name like, I don't know, Bruce Pearl or something, I just don't see that happening.
Jeff, I'm glad you're back with about 30 seconds here. Do you feel good about somebody running for a congressional district when they don't live in it? How do you feel about that?
The Democrats are treating it like an at-large seat. I don't think it's going to work for the Republicans. This is a weird district, guys, and it covers three media markets. It's Frankensteinian. It could happen. Somebody could pull it off, I think.
They could. All right. All right, fellas. That's good enough. That's two rounds and almost two rounds of the Grand Council with Jeff Poor, FM Talk 106.5 and 1819 News. Dale Jackson, WVNN, also with Yellowhammer News, and just little old me. We appreciate you guys. All right, we will be right back.